Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz have gone to 3-0 on the road trip. They do it with a 113-104 win over the Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about the Jazz bench crew that carried the Jazz through the key stretches of the game, the fabulous execution by the Jazz late in the game to be able to close this thing out, and what we think going ahead on the rest of the trip. It's all coming up on today's edition of Postcast. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Go down there and get some of the great things the chef has made up for you in the back with the sandwiches and the wraps on your daily basis, as well as some great meats in the meat section. That's all at The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Ron Boone, David Locke with you. Jazz win at 113-104. We'll take your questions as well during the show. For those of you live on Facebook at Locked On Sports. Ron, the bench unit's the key. The Jazz really run away from it. They get a great start. Jay Crowder started for Derek Favors. They got a great start tonight. They led it by 7 at the end of 1, but the Mavericks, they stretched it out to 12 behind the bench unit against a weak Mavericks bench unit. Then the Mavericks took the lead, and the Jazz bench unit did it again from the third to the fourth quarter.
And the defense wasn't bad there as well. Especially when Dante was on the floor, he did a great job of defending. But they have 10 of the 10 field goals. They had 5 3-point shots made from the bench players out of the 10 that the Jazz made. So, absolutely, they came in and really did a great job. Rudy was not on the floor that often in the first half. So, Epe comes in, did a pretty good job there. He was kind of undersized there with Jordan. But, Dante was probably the key.
Jazz had a terrible turnover problem in the first half. They had 9 turnovers in the second quarter alone. Got outscored in that quarter 27-24. But Dante was the key. He just brought a tempo and an energy. Grayson Allen was playing for the injured Alec Burks. He was fabulous as well. But let's zero in on Dante. How did he change the game?
I thought his speed and his ability to stay in front of Brea. He had, 3 or 4 assists? He had 3 assists in the ball game. Twice he set up George Dieng for 3-point field goals. So he just changed the game and gave the Jazz some speed, pushing the ball up the floor there when the Jazz were not running that well.
George Dieng did it again. I mean, this is a 6-game stretch he's gotten because of Thabo Sefolosha's suspension, and then Thabo doesn't play tonight. Dieng played 13 minutes. He had 13 points. He's exceeded his point total of his career already in the first 6 games. He was 4 of 5 from 3, 2 of 3 from 3. He's shooting over 50% from 3. What do you see from him tonight?
Well, I just see that he knows how to get open. Obviously, he knows how to shoot the basketball, especially he gets his feet together and square his shoulders. He can knock down the 2s, the 3s, and whatever. He's taking advantage of a situation, which is going to really help him. And I point out this, I just like to see him rebound just a little bit, get in and mix it up and rebound a little bit better. I know he only had 1. Sometimes it's going to be games like that. But, guys that rebound, sometimes the better rebounders rebound out of their area, just not when the ball comes to them. Be a little more aggressive there.
It's an interesting game because Dallas is the best team in the league when they get in transition. And that really was the key, was keeping them out of that. When they got in transition, they showed why they're so good at it. When the Jazz kept them in the half court, they really were able to do a very good job of slowing them down. On the offensive side, we see the Jazz again pounding inside to Rudy Gobert and getting the ball on the rim.
Well, Rubio did a great job of it. I thought Donovan did a great job of it. We had a couple of passes there from Dante. Just by keeping that defender, in this case Jordan, to the point where he had to stay with them to Gobert can get close enough to the rim where they can throw that lob pass. This is the Jazz's offense, and Quinn wants to throw the ball up above the rim. He wants the lob passes. He wants that kind of a play. And so when the Jazz are doing that well, they're getting a lot of high percentage shots, and that keeps Rudy happy.
Let's walk through a few of those plays late in the game because I really think it's an interesting phenomenon. We saw it, quite frankly, we're on the wrong side of it for much of the Houston series. So Rubio or Donovan's coming off a high pick and roll, and the Jazz have different ways in which they get into it. They sometimes will run some action to get into it. So they're pretty creative. It's not just purely walking into a high pick and roll. But as they come into the high pick and roll, the ball handler's coming down the floor. If the pick has been set well by Gobert and Gobert rolls wide, now you're going to have to, if you're DeAndre Jordan, you have to make a decision. And that is, am I dealing with the ball handler? Am I dealing with Gobert? And it's almost impossible to defend with 2 guys unless you're going to let the ball handler pretty much get on the rim. And the Jazz with Harden will often just decide they're not giving up the lob to Capella and force Harden to make 8-footers. The only other way to deal with it is bring a third guy in. So before the, and that was an adjustment they made, but let's start first on just when, what are the Jazz doing so well in that sequence and how they're tied up Jordan?
It all starts with Gobert. When he sets a good screen, when he sets a good pick, that puts the defender on the back of Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, or Dante, or something like that. Now you turn the corner and you get in that restricted area. That means that Jordan, in this case, either has to make a decision. Do I stay with Ricky or do I stay back here with Donovan? He mixed it up a little bit. And Jazz was able to take advantage of whatever the decision he did not do. When he stayed home to Gobert, then they were able to get some layups or maybe a little push shot. When he challenged the guards, then that's when Gobert was able to get the lobs. Now, before the ball game, we talked about this, and you asked me just about how many lobs or how many do we think that Gobert was going to be able to get. I think we agreed, 2, 3, but, you know, he had a lot more than that.
He did. Jazz pound. He had 13 in the fourth quarter. The key play of that, though, was the one time they brought the third guy in, and Rick Carlisle, such a great coach, did it creatively. Rubio jump-stopped into the air for a jump pass and found Joe Ingles for an open three that really opened up an opportunity there. It kind of was the dagger of the game, but just another great read by a point guard.
Great read, and you have to really compliment Quinn Snyder on those type of things. I mean, if this happens, this should be open. And they work on these things in practice. So Rubio, being a point guard he is, when he reads that, and then the relocation there of Joe Ingles getting to the spot that he needs to get to, it makes Rubio's job easier. And you get that uncontested look there by Joe Ingles. I mean, he's shooting 44% from that range. So he's going to make those shots, 9 out of 10.
13 minutes for Grayson Allen tonight. First time he's been a part of the rotation with Alec Burks. He had 11 points. What did you see from him?
How comfortable is he out there? I mean, does he look like, okay, I belong, or he's not playing scared? He's not afraid to take shots or anything like that. He's just playing like, you know, like he played in college, or playing like he wants more playing time. And believe me, if not sooner, I think by January he's going to be definitely a part of the rotation.
It was a great play he made where he was on the right wing. The play was a pick and roll to the left. The defense jumped, and he just took a dribble to his right, cleared himself some space, and hit the three. And that's – that's it. First of all, let's start just on the smarts. It's a great read.
Well, you heard Rick Carlisle talk about Doncic not playing like a rookie, like he's got plenty of experience. I think we're seeing that out of Grayson Allen. I mean, he's had 4 years of college. Doncic started playing professional basketball at the age of 13. That hasn't happened to Grayson Allen, but you can bet your bottom dollar that Grayson Allen's been playing against professional players in the summer or something like that. So he's NBA ready, and he seems to be making some pretty good decisions out there. I'm sure there's a few things that Quinn would like to see him do better, and he's probably working on it, and I think eventually he gets to it.
What do you think of Doncic?
I like him. I really like him. He moves well, and you can see that he knows the game there as well. You know, if you started playing professional basketball at 13, if you don't know how to play by now, you know.
You're not the third pick in the draft.
The third pick in the draft.
That wraps us up. That is Postcast tonight. Brought to you in part by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Have a great day. Locked On Jazz will be back with you Monday. We'll play again Wednesday against Minnesota.